I am excited today. I get to share with you something that, if you will listen, can change your life. And then this afternoon, we're having a picnic back behind the church at our house and the little small farm we've got. And I hope that you'll plan to come. It would just mean so much to come out and ride the hayride, or just come out and eat a hot dog, or just visit with us a few minutes. It would mean a lot just to see you. It just mean a lot to us. We today are halfway in a focus called the treasure principle. We'll just share a testimony about tithing or giving 10%. Most of you have figured out that this is a sermon series about giving money. Actually, it's not a sermon series about giving money. Now, I know what you think. Will talked about tithing, and that means 10% of my money going to God. It's really not about the money. You think? Well, it's about how I spend my money, that I should not spend it on unimportant things and things for just flash or things for me. It's how I spend my money. Not really. You see, we focus on the money aspect of it. God doesn't. It's never been about the money. Do you really think the Creator who spoke our world into existence, who put the gold and silver in every mind, do you think He's hard up for cash? No. You see, it's not about the money. What it's about is this. David, it's all about your heart. It's all about your heart toward God. Everything's about your heart. You see, if you get focused on things, you forget what it's all about. Did you know that Jesus, in His teaching, taught more about giving and money than any other subject except the kingdom of God? Was more about money. And you know why? Because first of all, money hurts people. Have you seen some of the stories of people who won millions of dollars in the lottery? It destroyed them. It destroyed their families. I love to watch Law and Order, and someone is murdered, and you know what the detectives say? Follow the money. Follow the money. Why were they killed? Usually because of the money. Money hurts. Number one cause of divorce, money problems. It'll mess up your teenagers. It'll mess up your children. Why do you think countries go to war? Money. But it's not just about the problems it causes us. Let me see if I can make this simple. One of the reasons Jesus focuses on the money you have is He's jealous. He's jealous. The love you have for your money, He wants you to have that love for Him. For most people in America today, they'll tell you pretty much up front, money's number one. We have elections coming up. I've heard several commentators say, people vote their pocketbook. People vote their money. When we give to God and we exalt Him with our giving, we say, God, you're number one. When we fail to exalt Him, we know where He falls. The Apostle Paul says that money is the root of all kinds of evil. And we're fixing to read the scripture of what we call the story of the rich young ruler. And at the end of the story, Jesus makes this statement. It is hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Did you ever think that your money could keep you out of heaven? Jesus does. Oh, and I know what you say. Well, I'm not rich. Maybe not compared to the person that you're sitting next to here today. But if you look at the world as a whole, you are most certainly rich. You're going to choose where you eat today. You're going to choose what clothes you put on. You're going to choose what you do for entertainment because you are rich. And Jesus says it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And with that, we're going to turn to Mark's gospel, 10th chapter, verse 17. Now, this is not a parable. This is an incident that happened in the life of Jesus. As Jesus started on his way with his disciples, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these have I kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved this and loved him. All that, the eyes of Jesus always conveyed love. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And he says, go, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. What a sad ending to such a good story. When he comes to Jesus, obviously something had prompted him. He must have been someone that went to the synagogue and temple to worship. He tells us, I've obeyed the Ten Commandments since I was a boy. But something was lacking in his life. And you know what I mean. There are some times that God deals with us and we feel a void in our life. What's God trying to tell me? Where's God trying to take me? But we know God's doing something. So he sees Jesus, and the word says he ran to him. I think that's how we know it was a young man. Once you pass around 40, you don't do so much running anymore. Best you walk fast. But he runs to Jesus, and he asks about eternal life. He wanted to know for certain that when he died, heaven would be his home. He says, I've done all those things. You see, Jesus has a way of piercing what's on the outside and cutting right to the crux of the heart. You come in here today and we all see your outside. You've got a Bible in hand. Maybe you stand up and sing and we say, hey, she's pretty spiritual, he's pretty spiritual. But God looks all past that. And God sees the heart. God tells this young man, just one more thing you got to do. And Jesus was about to go right to his heart. Jesus was about to go right to the throne room of his heart, because Jesus knew who was on the throne. Sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Wow. Right to the heart. He knew right where the problem was. You see, Jesus, God, did not have his heart. Money had his heart. And that's why it's not about money. You see, if God's got your heart, he's got all your money. He's got it all. But if he doesn't have your heart, he doesn't have you. And to be honest, you're all he wants. You're all he wants. Three quick, simple thoughts. One, our treasures reveal our heart. And by treasures, in our culture today, we mean money, because of what money buys. It buys those things that we want. What it is this. Our treasures become like a medical test. You think you're feeling pretty good and you go to the doctor for your annual checkup and he does some testing, and you come back afterwards and the doctor just shakes his head. Your test revealed some problems. When we look at where our treasure is, it reveals our heart condition. The scriptures tell us this was a rich, wealthy young man. How did the disciples know that? He did not come up with a tax statement. Do you know how they could tell? Because of how he was dressed. Because of the clothing he had on that was very special and very expensive, and likely he had a small entourage going around with him. Because that's what the wealthy people tended to do, and the people around them kind of hoped some of it would spill over on them. They could tell, they observed from what they saw, that he was wealthy. Did you know our spending also reveals our gods? If you came and said, Pastor, I'm having some financial problems, would you help me set up a budget? The first thing I would do, I would say, go buy yourself a notebook, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down every dollar that you spend every day. When you pay a bill, write it down. When you buy some coffee at Starbucks, write it down. Do this for a couple weeks, and when you get through, we're going to examine your spending, and I bet we uncover some gods in your life. Oh, we all think we don't have them, but our spending habits reveal we do. One of the issues we hear on the news today is that Google is constantly watching what you're interested in and what you're buying. And when they figure out, in essence, where your heart is, they're going to make certain ads start popping up for those things you want. Google is watching. And if Google is watching, I guarantee you, Satan is watching. He knows what interests you. Women, if there's a particular fashion that you really like, and you're at the mall, Satan is telling workers in the store, put that one out front. She's coming. Put it out front. She's coming. I know she's going to want it. They know you. All Jesus does here, he knows this man. He knows his heart. Although he's talking about God, his heart is not with God. His heart is with his money. Let me give you a quote by Jesus. This is Matthew 6:21. I think we have it here. Thank you. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will be also. If we could, and you probably can do it. I don't know technology that I could. But if we could sit down at your computer or your phone and look at what you've been searching, okay? What you are searching for is telling us a lot about your heart, a lot about what's important to you. Because you see, where you spend your time and where you spend your money, that's generally the most important thing in your life. So if we looked at your Google searches, is it going to be about some things? Maybe you're trying to find a bargain on because you want them. Or is it going to be searching for opportunities to support some missionaries? Well, Pastor, I don't do that very often. No. Because our hearts tend to be focused on ourselves rather than God. That's this whole idea of the treasure principle, is that any treasure we have here is temporary, but treasure we lay up on ahead is permanent. How we spend our money reveals what we love. All right, it's Christmas time, ladies. Your husband has gone shopping, but he couldn't decide what to get you. So instead, he gets you a $50 gift card so that you can go buy what you want. But as you are looking over the credit card, you see a $300 charge to a jewelry store. And you take the envelope he just handed you and you look inside and you shake it and no jewelry. So you confront him. Amen? So you confront him. What is this charge at the jewelry store? Well, I told you about that woman I work with. She's so nice, and I just wanted to really buy her a nice gift. And all of a sudden, bells begin going ding, 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 ding. He's spending money on her, not on me. I know where his heart is. Amen. We're not stupid. We spend money where our heart is. And Jesus pinpointed it with this young, wealthy man. Give it to the poor. He couldn't do it because if he did it, he wouldn't have the stuff he wanted. Number two, our treasures guide our heart. First, they reveal our heart. Now we're talking about our treasures guide our heart. Our treasures become like a compass in our life. How many people here know what a compass is? Okay. Had you ever used a compass in trying to reach a destination? We in Scouts learn how you take a compass and you know where you're going and you learn how to set the compass and follow the direction of the compass even though you can't see anything. The compass always points true north. And so because of that, you can always determine where you're going. Well, if you understand that your treasures guide your heart, and I will assure you they guide your heart, then by changing your treasures, you can change the direction of your heart. If you spend every extra dollar that you've got on technology, the newest iPhone, newest computer, newest games, I don't even know what else. I was at McDonald's Saturday, and I was sitting across from a woman, I guess she was about my age, and she had this very frustrated look on her face. She had her phone out and a watch, but it was not a watch. It was one of these new computerized fangled things that looked like a watch. And she looks at me, she says, "Do you know how this thing works?" I said, "No, ma'am, I can't even figure out my phone." She said, "That's where I am." I said, "You need to find some young people." She said, "There's some sitting over here. I'm going to go ask them." So she got up and walked over to the young people and asked them. There's technology out there that some of us, we don't even have a clue about it. But if you spend all of your money on that, that's where your heart is. You're going to make certain it's safe. You're going to make certain it's protected. You want to make certain you've got the newest and the best. But hey, if you decided, you know, I don't need this stuff, and I don't know if you know this or not, you really don't need it. Trust me, you'd get by fine without it. If you took it and sold it all and decided to invest in a homeless ministry, and go down and feed the homeless, you know what you would find? Instead of staying up at night thinking about all this computerized stuff you get, you'd be thinking, what can I do to help the homeless? Because all of a sudden now, that's where you put your treasure, so therefore, that's where your heart is. Matthew 6, 21 again. Wherever your treasure is, there your thoughts will be also. So it's very easy. You change where you put your treasure, and you begin to change where your heart is going. Will talked about tithing. Now, he concerned me with something he said. He said it was 10%, but he couldn't figure it out without a calculator. That worries me, Will. All you got to do is move a decimal point. That's really just move the decimal point. And that, I know we've got some teachers in here, isn't that right? Just move the decimal point. Tithing, the idea of giving God not just 10%, but the first 10%. It was instituted by God, given to Moses for the people of Israel. And it was expected of them. Regardless of their income, they were expected to give 10%. Remember the story of Jesus sitting when people are coming by, leaving their offering, and a widow comes by and her tithe is everything she's got left. I believe that God instituted tithing to help us with our heart. If it's true and our heart follows our treasure, then God is saying, I need you to put some of your treasure here so that you will be thinking about where you've put your treasure as the days go by. When we give to God, we don't just fund the church. We don't just fund missions. We direct our hearts. And the problem is our hearts. It's never been our money. It's always about what's important in our life. I mentioned to you that one of the reasons that Jesus focused so much teaching on giving is that he's jealous. We're told in the prophets, God says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." He is jealous. How would you feel, honestly, if your spouse spent a lot more on an opposite sex friend on the job than they spent on you for Christmas? Would you be a little jealous? Would you begin to wonder about motives and intent? Jesus could not have given us any more than he gave us on the cross. And all he asks in return is that we love him. And if we will love him, money's never a problem, because our heart has changed locations. So first of all, our treasures reveal our heart. And some of you are sitting here thinking, "Well, Pastor, I would not want you to see my credit card statement, because boy, it shows what I'm spending money on." Because you see, it is a test of our condition of heart with God. Second thing, it guides our heart. It's like a compass. So again, if you say, "Hey, I need to make changes in my life," the best place to begin is with your pocketbook, because your heart will follow. Am I talking about just giving to the church? No. There are missions organizations trying to spread the gospel that need generous people. There are social organizations trying to feed the homeless and help the hurting. They need generous help. But as long as I'm saying it's all about me, they're getting nothing, because my heart is focused on me. Jesus is not on the throne of my life. I am. Number three, our treasures hold our heart. Our treasures are like an anchor that hold us where we need to be. Oftentimes, when I would go fishing as a boy with my father would be in the stern of the boat, that's the back, and I would be in the bow of the boat. And if it was a windy day and we were pulling up doing fishing, especially crappie fishing, where you find a hole where there's crappie in an old treetop, we would have to set our anchors out, one in the bow, one in the stern. We would drop the anchors to hold the boat in place so that we could keep fishing in the same spot. If not, that wind will blow you all over the lake. Anchors hold us steady in. There's an old gospel song about Jesus being the anchor. Jesus is what we anchor to. I believe our anchor is more what we do with our money and our time. Because for us, it is something we cherish very deeply. I used to think that the hardest thing for people to give up was their time. But according to Jesus, I was wrong. The hardest thing for people to give up is their money, because it's become the god of their life. Matthew 6:21, wherever your treasure is, there your thoughts and heart will be also. So what Jesus is telling us, not only will our treasures guide our heart, our treasures will anchor our heart. Our treasures will keep us from drifting hither, there, and yon. Our anchors will help us make wise decisions and be prudent before God. As much as God loves you, the devil hates you. His means to destroy you is temptation. He wants to pull you in and hook you. The anchor against temptations is when we begin to focus on Christ and give Christ our heart, and we begin to give not just money, not just time, but we give Him our heart. Have you ever wondered why you don't enjoy coming to church? I'll bet you if I ask how many people here enjoy coming to church, nobody would lift their hands. But if you were honest, I think we'd have a bunch of hands fly up, don't you? Well, I'm here because my spouse made me come. Here because mom and dad made me come. I came because if I don't come, Pastor Ken's going to send me a text and say, where was I? So I got to come to church. Or I might have to miss the picnic, so I don't want that. What happens is this. We don't enjoy coming to church because our heart's not here. It's not here. You spend all your time looking at fantasy football and there's a game going on. Guess where your heart probably is during church time? Football. When my brother just under me, his name is Randy, got married at First Baptist Clemson, South Carolina, back, Ginger, what, 40 years ago, something like it? Long time ago. I'll never forget being at his wedding. This was the big weekend of the Clemson-Georgia game, and it was a rivalry. But they had some friends they had invited to the wedding, but their heart was not with the wedding. Their heart was with the game. And I remember walking down the aisle, glancing over, and seeing a couple of them sitting there with a television of the Clemson-Georgia game. Guess where their heart was? Some of you come to church and I'm here, and you take out your phone and you begin texting and searching. You know why? It's where your heart is. Do you think God, who created our universe, the formula for air that's perfect for us to breathe, that put us at the exact distance from our sun to support life? Do you think He's so dumb He can look at you and not figure out you don't love Him? No. He's jealous. He wants your love. So often the problem is our heart has been captured by the world. And that was this young man's problem. He came to church. It doesn't say he tithed, but the fact that he said he had kept all of the commandments, he probably did. While he did some of the right things, his heart was not with God. Jesus says, sell what you have, give it to the poor. Then you'll have wealth in heaven. So how do we deal with a heart condition before God? I wish I could give you a fancy formula, but there's not one. We deal with a heart condition before God with confession and repentance. We come with a contrite spirit before God and we say, God, forgive me. I have been selfish. I have focused more on me than the hurting. I've made it all about me and my wants and my desires. And God, forgive me. That is confession. To repent means, and God, I'm gonna stop doing it. To repent means you're going this way and you turn around and you go this way. God, forgive me for being selfish. Forgive me that I love things more than I love you. Forgive me for forgetting about the cross. Jesus revealed his love for you at the cross. We reveal our love for him by our treasures. And for most of us, there is no comparison. There's an old gospel song entitled At Calvary. One of the lines goes, lest I forget thine agony, lead me to Calvary. We do become forgetful, don't we? We make it all about us when it should be all about him. All about him. Then and then only will you find that joy that passes understanding. Then and then only will you begin to enjoy a passion for God. I'll suggest three things to you in closing very quickly. One, when we pray in just a moment, be honest before God and confess. I don't know anybody's in your pocketbook, but you know it. And you know where your treasures are. God knows it too. Number two, repent. Tell God you're sorry. And ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as to what you ought to be doing differently. Maybe it should be a difference in giving. Maybe you need to cut something out of your life that's costing you too much money, stopping you from giving. I don't know, but you need to repent and basically change that habit in your life. The rich young man had a simple suggestion. Sell what you have, give it to the poor, he said. No, I hope that you'll be more obedient. Number three, begin living generously. Begin living generously. When you get a bonus on the job you didn't expect, your first thought ought not be, what can I buy? But how can I bless someone? Wow. And I'll guarantee you that'll put a spring in your step. Begin to live generously. God loves you, but he wants your heart. And he can never have your heart until you let go of your money. By the way, then he can begin to bless you because he knows it's going to stop at you. It's going to flow through you. Would you stand with me, every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want us to begin our prayer with confession. Maybe it's not money that God has fingered in your heart today. Maybe it's a relationship that you're not to be in. Maybe you're angry and bitter towards someone, this God's commanded you to forgive. I don't know where it is, but whatever the Holy Spirit has prompted you, you need to confess it before God. Father God, forgive me. Forgive me for being selfish, for spending all my money on me and mine. Forgive me for holding on to this grudge and not forgiving. Forgive me for this relationship I'm starting that I do not need to be in, Lord. God, forgive me. Confess it. Jesus promises us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive, and you will be forgiven. But following confession is always repentance, doing differently. Father, as you forgive me for being selfish with that money you've placed in my hand, direct me how and where to give. That's repentance. Father, guide me how to break off this relationship I'm not supposed to be involved in. God, I know it's wrong. Guide me, Lord. Direct me. Strengthen me. Father, there's someone who has hurt me, and rather than forgive them, I've been thinking about it and focusing on it, and it's eating me up, Lord, and I know I need to forgive them. Help me, God, to forgive them, that I might enjoy your peace in my life. That's repentance. Doing something different in your life. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Father, thank you for speaking to us on such a serious subject today, a better heart, and how you are jealous for our heart. We ask it in your Son's name, Lord. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. It's never about the money with God. It's always about your heart. That's what He longs for, is you.